God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Greed's not good and God's not dead. I don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted logic and waves still pound upon the sand and will when they're gone. God's not dead, he's merely hiding.
It is time for a visit from across the pond from Less Visible. He comes by for an audio commentary this time every month. Want to tune in and check him out. He's got some very good points, very passionate and very into. He's one of these guys that you're gonna love him or hate him, and of course we love him here at Feet to Fire. Now Less Visible.
Tap tap tap. Fingers drumming on the tabletop, restless stretching and reaching. Got an itch in my shoulder blade. Confusion a little, I guess, like tells in poker. I'm getting some reads, but the betting doesn't reflect the hands I'm seeing when I call. What's going on? I guess I can't ask Marvin Gaye. You know what? I think I'll just take a little walk through my head and see what the ping pong ball has to say. I know it's used to going back and forth, and then there's the spin thing. I'm pretty good at ping pong. Any other things you learn growing up on military bases and being locked up for long periods of time? I'm not the sort of person you want to play nine ball with. Having your head handed to you since before you could walk will make you scared of everything for a while. Sooner or later you get angry and people die. Maybe you die too, or you learn to channel it. I guess I'm lucky that way. As erratic as I have been getting to where I am, I think it's safe to say I learned on the way or I wouldn't be here now. Here I sit in beautiful weather with the sun shining as it has been for some time now, temperatures in the 70s, and there's a breeze most of the time, but not like the South Pacific trades. They're the best in the world. Still, a man could do worse, but I'm uneasy. I'm not comfy. I'm looking over my shoulder, and it's not a personal thing. It's just that apprehension of no definable origin. Colin Powell endorsed Obama, so you can stick a fork in McCain. This puts the final imprimatur on the thing, along with Brzezinski smacking down Morning Joe. What an insufferable person. Hey, Joe. That dead girl in your office a few years ago. What's up with that? I don't have a problem with Powell and Milei. That sort of thing happens in every war, and we're doing it again and much worse. The trailers in Iraq were a bad moment, and it made Powell look like a work tour. But in the military, you follow orders, even when you don't want to. All things considered, Powell's not the worst of the lot, and I'll tell you this. A lot of Americans, more than you would suspect, really respect Colin Powell. The thing is, it makes the ongoing voter fraud, Joe Stalin American system, much harder to work now. I don't care how slick they think they are, everyone is going to smell a rat if McCain somehow wins now. But he's a legacy, as they like to say in the fraternities, and his dad did a nice little arabesque helping the Israelis obfuscate about their cold-blooded murder of American sailors on the USS Liberty. And given McCain's possible tendency to backfire flame broil his mates, why, you could almost call him Tail Gunner Joe. Nah, that probably didn't happen. And neither did the attack on the USS Liberty. I look at Obama speak and I think, it's a lot like Jack Kennedy. He's the sort of guy you just wish would be president and not only lead but reintegrate the nation in ways that can't really be talked about, but would really make the day. And if only the Zionist-controlled black music world would let Sam Cooke reincarnate, we wouldn't have to feel like Richard Pryor's pet monkey was humping our ear with a jackhammer every time he turned on the radio. Well, that's you, not me. I don't listen to the radio or music. Not much. I wouldn't even listen to my own, except I have to when I'm recording and mixing it. I like the quiet. If I could, I'd get on a plane tomorrow and fly to India and just start walking into the Himalayas. I really would. And I think about it all the time, but people count on me. My dogs count on me. They wouldn't understand. That's the hard part about loving people and other creatures. That's why attachment is the big no-no. Well, I'm not completely screwed. I draw the line at things. You could probably take everything I own, which isn't much, and I don't guess I care too much either. 500 tons of dust lands on the earth every day, so no matter what, things show up and stuff accumulates. Some of you will be familiar with what I just said here as it comes from my latest Smoking Mirrors entry. I don't like to cut and paste the past here, but I'll let myself slide in this respect because I have a reason. The single biggest event in the windshield is the upcoming American election, and the GOP thugs are at it again. They win elections the old-fashioned way. They steal them. It's hard to imagine that they'll be able to pull it off given the wide gap in the polls, but suddenly, quicker than you can say, lying sack of something doesn't smell very good, there they are. The Associated Press has it all even again, based on a mysterious momentum because of McCain winning the last debate, which in fact he lost, and the sudden appearance of Joe the Plumber, who is a plant set out for photo op, and who has been thoroughly discredited since. Meanwhile, several states, New Jersey is one of them, are refusing to allow election experts to monitor voting because they claim it is too important an election. Anyone want to parse that sentence for me? These things are nearly as ridiculous as Sarah Palin's flat stomach 5 weeks before giving birth. Yet on it goes. Though anyone with an IQ over 90 knows that the last two presidential elections were stolen through voter fraud. They were in every sense easier to steal than this one will be, and now you know why that first brigade of armed soldiers is deployed on American soil in defiance of Posse Comitatus, which was conveniently suspended for just this reason. Let me restate what election officials are saying. They won't allow election experts to monitor the election because they claim it isn't too important an election. All of a sudden, the proclaimed importance of an election forbids checking the election for due process. Surely I'm not the only one to see how whack this is. All of the mainstream media is in the hands of something like four corporations. Those corporations are tied into the Israeli neocon apparatus with their armed wings of Mossad and the CIA, and they don't like Barack Obama because he might not bend over for the handful of fascists and dual nationals that rule this country. It has to be said, it's glaringly evident, and though I know that most everyone is too much of a coward to say what's irrefutably obvious, someone has to say it, and some of us are. Now, I've written an inaugural address for Barack Obama. It is what he should say on the day he assumes office. I'm not sanguine about the possibility that he will, but it is what he should say. All right. We see him now. He looks far too young for the weight of this new office. He's as impossibly young as our hopes and dreams. There's a force in his eyes as the camera catches him placing his hands upon the lectern. There's a pause like captured breath held tight against a sea of emotions, which cannot be recalled once they are loosed. President Obama draws a sheaf of papers from his suit coat. He opens them and studies the first page. He looks up at the crowd and exhales. He shakes his head and returns the papers to his pocket. He looks up. He looks down. He looks out upon the sea of faces and he says, "My fellow citizens and citizens of every country in this world, I had a speech prepared for me today. It was filled with all the rhetoric that I have been compelled to utter in these many months until this moment. I did not know until I looked at it in my hands that I could not in good conscience deliver it. Change and the presence of realized hope cannot depend on words alone for their accomplishment. Change and hope that are not real will never come to pass. We achieve instead only some new variation on a theme. We merely paint the existing structure with a different face and nothing changes but the appearance. We cannot find unity, we cannot bring healing. We can accomplish nothing transformative until we have seen and named and touched the evil in our midst. In these last 8 years, many terrible events have occurred, and we are left with the same tired excuses and explanations that are always attached to terrible things interpreted by the reasonable men who made them happen. They say that we had no choice. It was our duty. It is complicated. Yes, it is always this way. Those who caused the events and led us astray into the wilderness of painful and unnecessary destiny are now all patriots again, as they have ever been. They are elder statesmen now, and they will be called upon for charitable endeavor and onto corporate convention floors and university auditoriums and television screens, and history will be worked before our eyes as it has always been worked and reworked. It is not enough for me to continue in this charade. It is certainly not enough for you, you the people." On September 11th of 2001, this country was attacked and everything changed in that moment. That event became a blank check for oppression at home and reckless adventurism abroad. As time passed, it has become increasingly clear that so much of what we have been told is untrue. A commission to investigate this event was created against the wishes of the previous administration, and it proved to be a corrupt engine in which the truth was abused and left bleeding. Many Americans bled and died as well. Many more citizens of foreign lands were killed and tormented. Millions now reside in dangerous camps with no recourse in sight. Until this country addresses what actually happened, what really happened on September 11, 2001, we can never move on. We can never be healed. We can never expect real change, and we shall see no fulfillment of that hope that has brought me before you today. In my first act as your new president, I have empowered a select commission to powerfully and impartially investigate what occurred on that day. This is the first business of my term of office. We live in fear. We are burdened with a struggling economy. We are viewed with suspicion and outright hatred around the globe. With a campaign born of hope and the promise of change, I have been advised to fill your ears with the words you want to hear and to assure you that everything is now okay. Our nation, our people, our reputation will never be okay until we know finally and conclusively what happened on that day. I realize there is great danger for me in this action that I take. However, the danger to this nation, which I have been elected to serve and protect, is far, far greater if I disregard my duty to the truth. Whatever the truth may be, we shall all be improved with a greater possession of it. We have had too little truth for far too long. Let the chips fall where they may. We as a nation are gifted and capable enough to pick up those pieces in the aftermath and weave together a finer land than we have ever known before. You have trusted me with your votes. Let me now trust in your support. There will be a hue and a cry concerning this venture from various sources. There will be outrage and indignation. There will be difficulty in the process, but I promise you, I swear to you, we shall know the truth, and the truth will make us free as it has always intended to do. My beloved brothers and sisters of this, the greatest nation on earth, let us become that. Let us join together and set our house in order that our house may no longer be divided, but joined in a common understanding that never again shall truth and the common good become a casualty of darker agendas. I ask you to step into the light with me. Let us live in that light, and let us be that light which we have always promised to be, a beacon of light and freedom for all nations and peoples of the earth. Thank you for your belief and your support. Now let us make our homes and our dreams, our hopes and dreams, become real. Now let us seek the new horizon of a nation reborn. God bless and guide us all. Yes, that's what Obama should say, and this is what Obama should do, despite the hue and cry of IPAC and the media, the neocons and robot-controlled talking heads that infest the airwaves with their disingenuous lies and distortions. I'm not alone in knowing who the orchestrators of 9/11 were. They're the same entities that pushed for the invasion of Afghanistan so they could get their opium industry back on its feet and repossess the pipelines. They're the same people who lied America into the war in Iraq, and they're the loudest voices screeching for an assault on Iran. They are members of the Project of a New American Century and other organizations, and they do their dirty deals in the back rooms of perfidious scheming. They are the ones who suspended habeas corpus and posse comitatus. They are the enemies of the people that inhabit this once free nation of America. They are the ones who engineered the financial crisis so that they could steal as much as was possible and loot the nation. They are psychopaths, and no sane or normal person can know the depth of the evil that lives within them. I say these things without knowing what course of action you should take. I say these things because you must hear them, and you must consider what should be done. Within a few days, the election will be here, and no one knows what also may happen in those days before it occurs, and what might occur between now and the departure of our own little boots, Caligula, from the highest office in the land, to which he was not legally elected once. These are very strange times, my friends. I find it so very, very difficult to believe that everyone does not see how very, very strange they are. I find it difficult to believe that most everyone doesn't know that all of the last three or four elections were stolen. We know this, that 9/11 was an inside job. We know this. We not only know this, but we know who. We know who did these things. But meanwhile, life just goes on. Life goes on, and celebrity worship and the banal, vacuous face of Paris Hilton lights up the room inside our heads. We want bread and circuses. We want entertainment. We want to grab a cold beer and sit on our couch and watch the World Series. How about those Rays? But meanwhile, step by step, day by day, life is moving in a particular direction, and things are not getting better. Things are, in fact, getting much, much worse. What does that mean? Are we supposed to do something? Or are our leaders supposed to do something? Or is God going to come out of some big door in the sky and do something? It seems to me every time God ever did anything, he had human hands, which is a good thing to remember. Well, I can't remember where I went the last 15 minutes, and I don't know where I'm headed right now. Actually, I'm headed off to Rome for a few days, and I want to thank you for having me in your heads and in your living rooms, your cars, or wherever it is that you're listening. And, well, God bless and keep you and the ones you love. It may be our good fortune to see these criminals hoisted on their own petards. We can only wait and see. Well, it's time for me to adios. So I'll see you next month, if there is one. Aloha.
God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. No, God's not dead.